All right, welcome to this edition of the General Manager Podcast. My name is Aaron Thomas, also known as Native Seahawk on Twitter. I want to sincerely thank all of you who have texted, tweeted, have let me know that you are listening to this brand new General Manager Podcast editions. We're going to get right into it, and I think today, this week's episode, is going to talk a lot about my concerns for this upcoming season. You know, you got all kinds of pundits going out trying to say Seattle's going to win anywhere from 6 games to 11 based on what they've done in the draft, in free agency. And looking at this team, you know, a lot of the pundits, the reason why they're saying that they're only going to win 6 games, and the biggest concern, of course, is that wide receiver. When you lose somebody like Doug Baldwin, who is your number one receiver due to injury, how do you replace that? And the production that he brings, the passion, the leadership on the field. And I'd have to agree with that. I think that's probably going to be my number one concern going into 2019 season is the wide receiver core. I love Tyler Lockett. We all do. I used to call him Lightning Lockett. When he first came into this league. And yes, he does have a lot of speed. He does get behind the defense and can really gash a defense for, you know, 20 plus yards. Explosive plays for him is amazing. It's off the charts, actually. Then the core part of who he is being able to literally do really, really well on the field. He stays humble off the field. And I think after Tyler Lockett, yeah, it is a really big question mark after that. You know, some people are saying Will Dissly will be the person that will possibly step up if he's not going to be injured and is going to be healthy to go this year. I have to agree. I think wide receiver is probably going to be the biggest concern. A lot of us are hanging our hats on DK Metcalf. We think he's got tremendous ability to flash. But is DK Metcalf going to have a Tyler Lockett kind of a rookie campaign? Or is he going to be like a David Moore? And not to slight David Moore, I'm not trying to, you know, throw him under the bus, but yeah, he flashed. Remember that? He flashed. He was, you know, getting into the end zone. He got a touchdown. At least one touchdown in like 3 consecutive games at one point. We were all like, yes, we've got ourselves a nice third, you know, wide receiver on this team. And then all of a sudden he went from that to nothing. Wide receiver is definitely a big question mark going into 2019. And again, I keep talking about Keenan Reynolds. Nobody's really talking about him. I think he's going to be, you know, if he's healthy, if he does what he did the last couple of years, I think you're going to find him on the field by the midseason and starting. I think he's that kind of a wide receiver. He looks just like Doug Baldwin, but faster. Can he do the same route tree as Doug Baldwin? We'll see. I'm hoping that he really learned from the best. I think Doug Baldwin was probably one of the top 5 all-time route runners in the NFL, mainly because of his get-off at the line of scrimmage. He was so good at being able to break the jam at the line of scrimmage from a bigger defensive back or, you know, even safeties were trying to cover him. And he was able to get open. And he had that bond with Russell Wilson. Who is going to have that bond with Russell? Who's going to, you know, to pick up that baton and be able to run with it? And yeah, Keenan Reynolds is going to be my horse, my dark horse favorite to be that person that's going to do that. And I've been pretty good at evaluating talent. I was one of the ones that was pounding the drum at the very beginning for Russell Wilson. You know, I went to go see him at training camp and I remember tweeting out that there's this number three guy. I don't know who the hell he is. I know we drafted him in the third round, but yeah, he's been accurate. He throws the ball on time. He's able to scramble. I also called Chris Carson. Nobody else was talking about Chris Carson. Seventh round draft pick, who cares? Yeah, Chris Carson's a beast. I think Keenan Reynolds is going to be the next beast. I'm really, really thinking that he could be the guy that's going to eventually sort of make us forget about Doug Baldwin. That's really the goal. Anytime you lose a player to injury, you know, you lose a Cam Chancellor, that's going to be another big one. I think Blair has a chance to become a Cam Chancellor, not in terms of stature and size, but in terms of being able to, you know, make those really heavy hits. Yeah, but still, wide receiver is going to be my number one biggest concern going into 2019. And thankfully, the Seahawks are not a pass-first offense. We talked about that last week. The idea is run first, pass second. And so you lean on that run game. I think that's really what you do, especially in the first six games. It's going to be so important. And my number two concern is the offensive line. I mean, most people are going to say the pass protection is going to be their number one concern, as it is every year. When has Russell Wilson had a really good offensive line? Not that many times. There's been flashes of it. But the run game in the first six games is going to be so important because of the question mark at wide receiver. You're going to have a bunch of dudes up front led by Mr. Fluker, Iapati. Those guys can maul other guys off the line of scrimmage. They are definitely big, big John Deere type of machinery out there. Can they consistently do that? Can the everybody, not just the five guys up front, it's going to take your tight ends, your wide receivers, all of them working in sync, and then having Chris Carson and the running back group do their job in finding those holes, running right through them, and gaining anywhere from 4.5 to 6.5 yards a carry. In the first six games, that's what it's going to take. Until that wide receiver, I'm going to call them the misfits. The wide receiver group in Seattle is going to be known as the misfits. We have no idea who they are, who they're going to be. And like misfits are, they steal, right? Misfits steal things. I think the wide receiver group in Seattle is going to steal the hearts of a lot of people. You know, they've been called pedestrian in the past. You know, Doug Baldwin was called pedestrian. You know, just normal, common, nothing flashy. Misfits are pretty flashy, though. They steal when you don't even expect it. Yeah, wide receiver group is called the Misfits. That's a new term I'm coining right here on the General Manager Podcast. I think the third real concern I have is going to be defensive back. What kind of defensive backfield are we going to get this year? Is Shaquille Griffin, who in his rookie year, we were all just like totally stoked for this kid. He comes out, plays on the opposite side of Richard Sherman, gets all kinds of tests because nobody's throwing on Richard's side. And all of a sudden, his second year in the league last year, it kind of went downhill. You know, his hips weren't as fluid. He was getting beat downfield. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to slam Griffin. I think his potential, his ceiling is still has yet to be reached. It just needs to be consistent. Trey Flowers had a great rookie campaign last year. Is he going to have a Richard Sherman kind of second year campaign, or is Shaquille Griffin kind of campaign in his sophomore year? That's going to be another concern for me. Thank goodness he got Ziggy Ansah. You know, of course, is he going to be ready game one? No. I'm projecting him at game three. Ziggy is going to be on the field. So that's your fourth concern, of course, is defensive line and pass rush. The run stopping, I think, with the addition of Al Woods, is going to be really good. You're going to have a group of guys that's going to eliminate, if healthy, a lot of those runs that normally we were getting gashed on last year. Picking up Al Woods is going to be probably one of the biggest additions of this team. I think being able to have a 330-pound guy in the middle of your defensive line along with Jaron Reed, Puna Ford, that's big, literally and figuratively. You've got a really speedy linebacking core. If Michael Kendricks can somehow work his magic and be on the field for game one of the season, you're going to have the most smart and quickest linebacker core in the NFL. They're going to be able to run through those double team blocks that Al Woods is going to command, and Jaron Reed will command that every once in a while. When Ziggy Ansah gets on the field, there'll be double teams there, whether it's a left tackle and a running back or a left tackle and a tight end on Ziggy. You're going to need that linebacking core to get in there to stop Todd Gurley as he's trying to make his cut up the field. Now, I'm not too worried about the linebacking core. That's going to be one of my surest, safest bets this year. But can Seattle, again, number one, who is going to pick up those receptions and touchdowns that you got from Doug Baldwin? My answer is going to be Keenan Reynolds. And it's probably going to be a plethora of guys, a many of guys, like combination of Reynolds and, you know, a few other guys that's going to, you know, get them up to Doug Baldwin's receptions. You know, the misfits is what I'm calling them. I think they're going to struggle the first six games of the season. I really am predicting that. I think, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to struggle in terms of getting the ball and you know, catching them. I think they've all got a pretty good catch radius. It's more about, can they get open? Can they have that bond with Russell Wilson? How is their route running? That's really the, if you really want to boil it down, it's going to be route running and the bond with Russell that is concerning me the most. Can Russell be confident when he throws the ball to any one of their rookie wide receivers? Jennings, I have a lot of concern with Gary Jennings, believe it or not. He does remind us a lot of Greg Jennings out of Green Bay, his height, his weight, his, you know, just the way he catches the football. But I don't know. I really have a concern with his route running. I hope he's going to be a pleasant surprise this year for me. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I think Seattle, they're by week six or week seven, because we do have a late bye week this year. I think they're going to start clicking those misfits. And they'll take a lot of the load off the running game. And you're going to start seeing a lot of these guys start to flash. So, yeah, I think the wide receiving core is going to be my number one concern, followed by the run game and being able to be consistent over the first, you know, six games and really carrying the water, carrying the load while the Misfits start to understand how to play this game. And so then the defensive backfield is my third concern. And so we'll see. I think at the end of the day, that's really the goal as the Seahawks go into OTAs starting in middle of June. And we start to see the rookies and the veterans come together. It's going to be really, really interesting to see how this team can gel. Because if you think about it, Seattle has pretty much recycled itself. And, you know, that's what everybody thought they were going to do last year. Well, this year they were sort of forced to do it. When you have injuries, you know, you got pillars that go down because of injury, you're going to have to recycle. It's just the name of the game. And Seattle is really, really good at that, especially with John Schneider at the helm. Again, reports out throughout this week was talking about John Schneider in terms of how is he able to not win the Executive of the Year award. How the heck is this not possible? I mean, and I know John Clayton was talking about the fact that this week that they choose, the writers are the ones that choose the Executive of the Year, which is probably where it belongs. I wish it was the fans, but there's probably more fans for some crappy team than there are for the ones that are good. So that doesn't work. But having the writers do it is good, but I think they should look back. They shouldn't give out the 2019 Executive of the Year award to somebody that's, you know, has a ton of free agent market money, has a ton of cap space, has a ton of draft picks because they sucked the year before. I think it's a really, the process is not, it's definitely flawed. I think the Executive of the Year should be looked back 3 years from this year. So they should be voting on the 2016 year for 2019. And because you have some executives that won the award that year, they're not even on the same team anymore. They didn't last 2 years. Yet they won that year's Executive of the Year award. Doesn't make any sense to me. And I always talk about, you know, pundits are over there trying to grade each draft class. And I'm like, what are you grading Seattle's 2019 draft class? We have no idea what they've done. We have no idea what they're going to do. Are they even going to make the team? You know, this team is stacked. The Seahawks, 2019 Seahawks have got some of the most deepest, you know, court guard, deepest guys that they've ever had since 2013. That's exciting. Yeah, so I think they should be looking back 3 years from today and then voting on it this year to say congratulations to whomever that did well. You can look at what they drafted. You look at what they got in free agency. You look at what the outcomes were as a cumulative for the last 3 years. And you can see that person made the right moves in 2016 based on what they had and sometimes based on what they didn't have. Like, I hope the writers will take a look at what Seattle did and what John Schneider and his team did, you know, in the general manager's office and the scouts, et cetera. They had 4 draft picks going into this year, this April's draft. And to turn 4 draft picks into 11 by itself should earn him something, at least runner up. But then to go out and get a Ziggy Ansah, who I think is, if when healthy, is going to be a beast in that team. It's going to take the pressure off those defensive backs, definitely, which again is my concern going into the season. I think the last concern I have after what the Misfits, the wide receiver core, the wide receiver group, the consistent run game, the first 6 games of the season, And then the defensive backs, I think my fourth concern is just overall defense. Can Seattle consistently, especially on third downs, third down conversions, I think, if you really want to drill down deeper, I'm really concerned about third downs on both sides of the field, offense and defense. Can they convert on third down, and can they get the team off the field, the offense off the field on third downs? I think that's what's going to really make or break this team. And it's worth at least two games to me. So if they're really crummy at it, they'll be probably 8 or 9 wins this season. If they're really good at it, you're looking at 10, 11 games won this season. So that's kind of my four, you know, concerns going into this season. I want to thank you all for joining me. I'll be back again next Saturday for another great edition of the General Manager Podcast right here. God bless you wherever you're at. Take good care of yourselves.